Hitbox KO. Welcome back, audience, to the Hitbox Podcast. By Openly Beta, your favourite YouTube channel. My name is Jamie, your favourite podcast host, and today we have possibly the biggest dork on the planet, my good friend Sam, to talk about some of his childhood games.
Hello.
Sam, who are you? Why are you on here?
I'm just an average human being who's come across space and time to tell you about some super dorky games.
You've certainly conquered the third dimension. Sam has is currently suspending his image using his own 3D printed piece of hardware fresh off the press, which I had to mention because you can see that in the background and I love it.
you can see this like little mallet right next to it as well, so if I could probably grab it.
Go on.
That is for when it misbehaves, you just give it a big old clout.
Are you kidding me?
No. It's modern technology, mate. You just got to tell it who's boss.
So, obviously, we're starting up right at the end. Sam's most recent game is just 3D printing things. But we're not here to talk about 3D printing. We're here to talk about ones and zeros. Sam, what was your very first console? Handheld, or any? Give it to us.
So I'll tell you my first gaming experience. I must have been about 11, and my dad had. So my dad was an IT technician at a certain college, and he brought home this like computer. I don't know if he stole it or what, but. Brought it home and he installed it must have been like one of the first Dooms. So, and it was like Minecraft quality, as you'd imagine, really like pixelated. The gun literally like a triangle, and you're running around and just killing. But I wasn't allowed to do that too much because I was very young and my mum didn't like the idea of me killing creatures on my computer. So there's that. And then that was shortly lived, and I got a Game Boy Advance, which I bought for 25 quid off a friend who was upgrading to a PSP.
So, wow, okay. So we're talking what, 2005-ish, I guess. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. We're not on this podcast. We discussed this earlier. We might throw out some dates and relative time. You know what? Don't fact check it. We don't want to see that in the comments. I don't care about any of that. Just take it for face value, all right? So it was exactly 2005. That's what we'll go with.
Exactly 2005. I was 7 years old. And my math is wrong. I was 8 years old.
Yeah, so you definitely were. Yeah.
No, actually, I must have been about four, I reckon. And then, got the... No, got this Game Boy Advance, and obviously some cracking games on that. You got Crash Bandicoot.
Which one?
You got... Don't say that.
Right, I know the ones. So there's Crash Bandicoot Entranced on the GBA. And there's also another one, which was the first one. I can't remember the name. Then there was Crash Bandicoot Purple as well, which was the Spyro crossover game. Which one do you remember having?
I'm just giving it a Google. I can't remember, to be honest. I really can't. It had that like tribal jungle guy in, but have they all got that?
Papu Papu.
Is that his name?
Yeah, so we got Crash the Huge Adventure, which I believe is the first one, and they released Crash Entranced, which is it has like a big egghead guy, like purple egg, as the main villain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fusion.
Oh, it was.
Is that the? Yeah, so, or the purple one.
You got. Oh dear. Okay. Widely accepted as one of the worst, probably the worst Crash game ever made.
Oh mate, but that was such a good game.
I owned it too, and I loved it at the time. Do you remember anything from Crash Purple?
I literally just remember the goats being a pain in the ass and trying to like, I'd just get rammed by them and die, and that was pretty much it.
Do you remember the weightlifting competitions?
You had to just button spam. Yeah. I remember like that was pretty much like the pinnacle of gaming was just button spamming back then. There was no like, yeah, okay, we've got some really cool, yeah, let's do some combos here. It was just like just spam A. Just spam A to kill or to lift or to do.
I remember thinking at the time, like, man, it actually is like I'm doing a workout. This is amazing. I got my mum to do it as well. She used to hate it because I was like, I was just a weak child. It's like, oh, my mum can do it, which obviously she just couldn't because it was stupidly hard.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, that was some good times on that. And I think I've played Spyro on moving on to the next console, a PlayStation 1.
Ooh.
And I never had the game, so I never got quite into that, unfortunately. But on a PlayStation 1, I had a very cool game called Hydro Thunder. And I just remember the intro, and it's got the best intro ever. It's just this dude going, Hydro Thunder!
Hydro Thunder!
How interesting. I've never heard of Hydro Thunder before, but...
Have you not?
Man, tell you what, that's a pretty sexy PS1 game, actually. Like,
yeah, that's
that's cool. For a PS1 game, that looks pretty neat.
I mean, to be fair, like, I just remember the graphics being okay as well. You're in this 3D world and flying around it with all these stupid, like... boosts and stuff on like a boat that's like definitely impossible. That was a very, very cool game.
Yeah.
Good memories there.
You never played Spyro. Did you play Crash on PS1?
No, I wasn't privileged with having Crash on PS1. It's just Game Boy. And then on from that, so I said my dad worked at a college with these computers. He stole some more computers. and we had a garage. And so what he'd done is he'd connected these two computers via like a serial connection. And not the serial that you eat, of course. and we bought in a charity shop for like £2... The Red Alert series. So it was like it's a really tatty cardboard box, and it just had Red Alert and this like Soviet like banner just spammed across the front cover.
I love Red Alert.
we played that, like the original Red Alert, on these like two computers on Windows 95, and just playing. And we had the massive PC monitors, like the Electron telescope, wherever they are.
Yeah, CRTs.
And we had those like facing away from each other, and we'd just be like, just playing and just like trying to. Like,
that is so funny. I did the exact same thing with my dad.
Did you imagine?
Did he
steal some computers?
He didn't. No, it was actually his own computer. That was Red Alert 2, but it was the same thing. LAN cable played on like really fat PC monitor. That's so funny. Yeah.
Man, no, that's so many like hours doing that. And I was just like, Dad, can we go play Red Alert in the garage?
It was brilliant. Like, oh, yeah, sorry, Karen, please.
And it's just like, just don't tell Mum. And I remember, like, mum was out one night, and I used to go to bed at like 8 o'clock every night, and that was it. Like, and my mum was out, and we were in the garage until like 11 o'clock at night, and my dad was like, "Oh, your mum's gonna be back." He was like, "Get in your bed." So they're like running up to the bed.
That is brilliant.
It's like the old sort of like when you're playing console and you're like, mum walks in, you know, tuck it behind the pillow. Like, yeah.
That is so funny.
But no, Red Alert is like such a childhood game for me.
Yeah. Massively same. Used to play, have really fun sessions with my dad. He used to think he was really sneaky. And he'd like have engineers go out and stuff. And like do some like sneaky stuff, which he was doing well, but my tactic was just, you know, blitzkrieg, just build a huge army and trample, and that always won over any sneakiness. It was that's what it came down to, but it's still really fun.
That was really cool. I just remember like my favorite thing was just getting loads of like Tesla coils, just setting them up, and then like whenever any like enemy came up to it, they just get zapped. But we'd always play, I think we played with AI as well, so it's like me, dad, and like a couple of AI players, just to make things a little bit more interesting, because we were obviously just so good, we played so much, we were just like, we've got to make it harder. That was good. And then obviously, like you say, Red Alert 2, I also got Red Alert 2, and is it Tiberian Sun?
No. Tiberian Sun's a separate game, yeah. Yeah,
it's separate. Oh, still done by Command & Conquer, though.
Yeah, that's still Command & Conquer, yeah.
So, yeah, played those, and I don't think... I'm gonna be wrong here, but I don't think they've released anything new.
So, the last Command & Conquer game was in 2014, and it was terrible, absolutely terrible. That was Command & Conquer 4. There is a Red Alert 3, which is really good. I love Command & Conquer, so like that's a whole other conversation in itself. I wish there was a new Command & Conquer game. It's really sad. But
yeah. Another thing I'll mention is the music on that. Just like,
oh, the music's hilarious. It's so it's so dumb and over the top and brilliant. I love it.
Yeah,
the characters, like the actual real people.
You're playing on like this like really, the graphics weren't great, and then like there's this video feed of like this dude like in a Soviet uniform, like, oh yeah, sir. Oh, it's good.
It was so campy. It's so good.
Played that so long. We'll have to do a game or something.
I was just writing down on my hand to remember to bring up after the podcast that we should definitely play some Command & Conquer together, because I'd love to do that. That'd be really, really fun.
I'm gonna jot that down. So,
that's Command & Conquer. So would you say that the most recent one you've played was Red Alert 2 then?
You say Red Alert 3. I may have played Red Alert 3 as well. But I probably didn't think a huge amount of it. So I definitely played Red Alert 2 quite a lot. And I did Tiberian Sun because I quite like the idea of being on like another world sort of thing.
Kind of the holy trifecta of CNC games before they went bad is tends to be Red Alert 3, Red Alert Generals, Command & Conquer Generals, and Command & Conquer 3, which I think is called Tiberian Twilight, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard of that, actually.
I could be wrong. But, yeah, and then after those three games... Oh, no, it's called Tiberian Wars. After those three games, kind of, like, they're very, very similar, right? Just in different settings. And then Command & Conquer 4 came out, and that is a really, really awful game.
Oh, man.
It's so sad.
So I'm just, like, looking at the the original Red Alert like gameplay. There's a remastered edition, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So that is something that I I've got to buy. Because I don't think it would, like, obviously, as time went on, I think we looked at, like, upgrading the computers or trying to play Red Alert on a, like, an XP version of Windows. And it didn't work. Like, it had to be, like, 95 or 97.
Backwards compatibility wasn't really much of a thing back then.
No.
It was very tricky.
Yeah. So that would be... Yeah, we've got to do that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we should move on from that. Because I could talk to you about that for a very long time.
Sweet. Well, after... obviously, I had a PC for a bit. Or it was Dad's PC, really. Then I got a PlayStation 2 for a very brief amount of time, because I don't really recall having or playing it a huge amount. I believe it broke. I was saying to you earlier, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of my consoles were like secondhand and old and whatnot. Yeah. So it probably got hot or whatever. Or it might have dropped, actually. Yeah, it might have dropped mysteriously. anyway. so I PlayStation 2, and one of the games on that was the infamous Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is by far like one of the coolest games out there. I think, anyway.
What a highlight! What a highlight of that console! Oh, so many hours spent playing that game.
Such a good game, and just the being able to like go around the galaxy and like conquer different like planets, and you build your like empire as such, and that was just a cool dynamic, which even like the new games now, they don't have that like conquer the galaxy sort of vibe, which is kind of sucks, to be honest, because who wouldn't want to conquer a galaxy? So yeah, that is sort of a great shame, but the original game, amazing. Played a lot of that on PlayStation 2. And I think at that time, I think people started to go online to try and do like just Battlefield like matches, like gameplay.
Yeah.
But I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't get internet until about a year ago. No, I don't. I didn't get internet for ages, so I never could go online. So just like the old disc games and whatnot, but yeah, that sadly died. And
yeah, PS2 had online functionality, but it was very, very limited. Like, it wasn't. A lot of people couldn't get it set up, and it wasn't really a thing until PS3 for sure.
Yeah, and I think didn't you have to have like another module to plug into it or something?
There was definitely a reason, like something like that, which made it really annoying for most people to play it. Yeah,
yeah. And then in the meantime, I bought a PSP. I can't remember when it was. It must have been like Christmas 2008 or 2009. Mm. And I got this like PSP Slim, and it was white, and it was just the most gorgeous thing ever. And
nice.
I just played that all the time. And yeah, really, really cool. I used to go caravanning, and obviously you can't have a console in a caravan, so I had my PSP. Mm-hmm. And my friends had PSPs, so we'd like play that. And there's this game called Fired Up, and Fired Up is like basically just you're in a car, and you have missiles and machine guns on your car. You basically just like drive around and shoot up the other cars.
This game looks really funny. Yeah.
It was absolutely top notch. And used to play that quite a lot with friends. Because at that time, they had created like a really good online interface where you could play with other people. So it was fantastic.
Man, PSP games looked amazing at the time. Like,
and they're on this, like, I said, like I jumped from a Game Boy to a PSP.
That's mental. So yeah, like,
yeah. Really cool. And like, you had this whole concept of you could get on the internet with a PSP. You could watch films. Like, you could buy movie discs.
So oh, I know. I saw those.
And
yeah.
Watch a film. And like, for me, I only had a PSP, so this was like awesome. Like, oh, I can watch films on a PSP, and you play music as well. So
yeah,
it's like
they were
just
called UMDs, weren't they?
Universal
Media Disc, I think.
So cool. And they're like in that little plastic like tray.
Yeah.
And yeah. No, that was really, really cool. Yeah, a lot of time for the PSP.
I'd say
No. Well, I was gonna say, I think after that there was the, I never got it, but there was a is it PlayStation Vita?
Vita, yeah.
The flip up touch screen.
Oh, it's not a flip up.
Oh, is it? Is it not a flip up?
No,
I think it's someone else.
That's just a DS. Yeah.
That's just a DS. yeah, no, really cool though. And I never got one of those, but they were like the next step, but they didn't really catch on. So PSP.
The PSP and the Nintendo Switch share in common is they've both got mechanical parts in, and I loved the fact that, although it's terrible from like an actual use, you know, like having a disc whirling around in a PSP is a bad idea because if you knock it too hard, the game corrupts. Yeah. But
or you drop it.
I love the feeling of having it whirring in your hands. Switch has the same thing. The Switch has active cooling on the back, so you can actually hear the air being blown out. And like, there's something about that which I love, and I love that about the PSP. Yeah. I never owned a PSP, but I thought that was always really cool.
Yeah, it's sort of like a little bit like sort of steampunky.
Yeah.
Like you've got something moving, like you've got this high-tech device, but you've got something in it that's moving around. And
yeah, something about that, isn't it? Yeah.
Blast out a bit of steam. Just
it's kind of cool. When you boot up the Switch, it for about 30 seconds, it's like properly goes for it. Like, and there's a thing about it, like, yeah, booting up the old girl. You know?
Blowing out the cobwebs.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah. But on the PSP, so obviously PlayStation 3 eventually came out, and I didn't have one of those, but whenever I went around to friends, one of the multiplayer games that we'd play was Little Big Planet. Mm-hmm. And you could, as you well know, you can just create anything you like, almost. You can stick stupid rockets on things and send them flying. So it was like such a cool game, and I couldn't get this on PSP at the time because they hadn't released it. So I was just like round friends just playing Little Big Planet on, and we just make stupid dragons and stuff like that, assault courses,
so
and who knows what. And yeah, but then eventually they released a PSP version. So I got it for PSP, and I spent so many hours just creating stupid stuff, like stupid things. And yeah, oh, it's so good. It's basically like, well, actually, I'd be wrong in saying that it would be like the Minecraft before Minecraft, because I'm pretty sure Minecraft came out at the same time.
Yeah, I think it probably did. So, Minecraft definitely came out.
2008.
It came out a while ago. It might have actually been 2008, yeah. I think you might be right.
Which would be in line with...
It didn't actually... official release was 2011, but I don't know whether that includes the very, very early version that people play.
Development started in 2009, and pre-orders for the full game are accepted from June 2009. So,
but then
Minecraft's official release was November 2011. That's a lot of development on a really,
that really,
really simple game.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, Little Big Planet. I had that on the PS3 eventually. But yeah, same as you, I played it around friends' house, my cousin's house a lot. It's just so good. It's so fun.
Yeah, and like I just remember, like, to hit other players, you'd have to, like, I couldn't quite get the knack of it, but you had to, like, swing your analog stick, so your arm would just flail and just, like, hit the other person.
And I used to really struggle at doing that. It's really difficult. Yeah, yeah. You had to really go for it, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. You had to, like, probably run up to people and be like,
yeah,
and just
yeah,
try and smack them about. Yeah, doing that. Or you could grab them. The easy one was just to grab them and just, like, try and drag them off, mm-hmm, off an edge or something. Yeah. And then when they died, did their heads explode?
Yeah, I think they did. You could self-destruct yourself, and it was really violent. Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
And yeah, yeah, and he'd literally just go...
Yeah.
And their heads would just blow up. And yeah, oh, man. Yeah, no, really cool. And that also brings me to a point. Did you ever play Lemmings?
Never played Lemmings, no. But I do know what Lemmings is.
Lemmings is fantastic. I'm pretty sure I had that on PSP. And that is a game about just... I think you had to try and, like, get him to live, but obviously you lost a few on the way.
That was, like, a pretty major PSP game. I remember a lot of people who had PSPs had Lemmings, for sure.
Yeah, Lemmings was good. And Worms.
Worms.
Worms was still is such a good game.
Yeah.
Having to just, like, kill the opponents.
Yeah, it really is. It's really good.
Different weapons and all sorts. Yeah, man. Worms was quite a cool game.
Yeah, I had a DS. I never had a PSP. I actually eventually did buy a PS Vita when we were in college. I bought a secondhand one. And although I don't have the nostalgia value attached to it, it's probably like my favorite handheld. I think it's actually really neat. It's really, like, clean and like the screen's really nice. It's got an OLED screen. It's a real shame it didn't catch on. The Vita's really nice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sorry. There's.
You're talking about the PSP Go with the
flip. That's
one.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's which, to be fair, wasn't that great. I don't think because. Just where the buttons were, it didn't quite match up. It was like almost playing on a phone.
Bit cheap feeling compared to the original one, yeah.
Yeah. Ah. Did the Vita have did it not have any touchpads on the back or anything?
Yeah, so the Vita had a front and back touchscreen. And had analog sticks as well.
Yeah, because am I right in saying there was an Uncharted game where you could and then you'd climb up a ladder and you'd have to stroke the back of the Oh man, yeah, I know this. Man, how much can you get one for?
Honestly, that is actually my favorite handheld. Despite having no nostalgia, I just think it's so, like, you'll know what I mean if you do end up getting one. The screen is just so lovely and vibrant. It's not even HD; it's like 520p, but it's like. Really, really crisp looking because it's an OLED screen, which you don't really get very much in devices.
No. And that would have been quite ahead of its time to put a screen like that on there.
When it came out, it was the first OLED device. It was like right at the cutting edge of it.
Yeah. Man, I'm not going on eBay and having a look at... How much they are.
the price of the PS Vita isn't what's going to get you. It's the price of the memory cards that's going to get you.
Are they not like a standard memory card?
No, they are proprietary and expensive. You can get PS Vita, physical cartridges, but I downloaded all my games on it because. Obviously, by the time I bought it, it had already failed. And so on the storefront, all the games were dirt cheap, all on sale.
Yeah. that is a cool, cool console.
So
yeah.
You moving on then. So did you get a PS3 generation console then eventually?
This is a funny story. So I literally went all the way through school. I was in my last year of upper school. I don't know how old I was, about 7. And
so 1992 then, yeah?
Yeah, about that. And I was in a history lesson and my history teacher said, oh, what are you gaming on tonight then, Sam? Because it was just a thing back then. Everybody would game. And I was like, oh, you know, I haven't really got anything to game on. So I'll just go and play with my mates over like the airfield or making dens and stuff, which was so much fun. But
yeah.
My history teacher said, oh, have you not? You not got a console? I was like, no, like, just don't have one sort of thing. And he goes, I've just upgraded to like the Xbox 360 Elite or whatever it was. So I've got an old original Xbox 360 that you could have. And I was like, what? I was like, okay, like that'd be really nice. Like, if you want to, do you want some money for it? Like, I can try and scrape together a tenner. And he said, like, I don't want anything for it. Here's a controller. Here's the console. And he gave me an Xbox 360. And I was just like, whoa, absolutely amazed. Yeah, and
to be fair,
it's still going strong today because my sister uses it to play Minecraft. So, yeah, like, absolutely
wow,
cracking bloke. Yeah, and got this console, booted it up, put it home, gave it a clean and whatnot, and got it working. And then I genuinely can't remember what the first game was I got on that. But one of the games that I used to play a hell of a lot was Battlefield 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a game. Once I got it, obviously I'm in final year of like upper school. So mm-hmm. all my mates were gaming and they were playing Battlefield 3. And I just would play it religiously every night. I'd literally get home from school, boot up the Xbox, get on the party or whatever, and we just play Battlefield 3 until like probably about 10 o'clock at night, and until like my parents are coming in and they're like, you need to go to bed. It's like, ah. So yeah, that was a big game. That was like my first console that I was playing in. Was that HD? Probably wasn't even HD.
It was
okay.
Supported 1080p, but most of the games, almost all of the games, are 720p at the time.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. So Battlefield 3 was a massive game, and just any game mode, just going around, whether it's like going around with a shotgun in the close, like in the container site, and just running around, killing people.
See, I didn't actually get Battlefield 3, which is a damn shame. Because I played Battlefield.
Shame.
Yeah, no. Well, I played Battlefield Bad Company 2, which I loved.
Yeah.
I kind of was over. At that point, I was over playing first person shooters because I played so much COD. And I was kind of done with it. It was just a really good game, Battlefield 3, but it just came out at the wrong time for me. I just wasn't into shooters at that point. But I played Bad Company 2, and you know, so cool. Like, destructible environments, man. It was so cool at the time.
Yeah,
that still is cool even today.
Yeah, I mean, I play quite a bit of the new stuff now, and yeah, just being able to blow up stuff. You're just like, yeah, this is cool.
So cool.
No, just slightly. I never could get into COD. I probably didn't play enough of it to get into it. Mm-hmm. But so I was a Battlefield guy. But
I wish I was a Battlefield guy. It's just all of my friends played COD, and obviously COD was immensely popular, so that became the game I played. But Battlefield is so much better, so much cooler.
Yeah, well, for me, it was just being able to, like, you'd have bullet drop. And because, I mean, I'm sure God had that as well, but you're playing on maps which are so, so big. So, like, you've really got to take into account bullet drop when you're doing various activities with guns. And, yeah, that was just it for me. Like, there's all these different physics involved, and you're not just running around shooting the hell out of people, which was what COD was more about. COD's definitely more like, okay, I've got a better like KD ratio, and for me, being a worse player, for me it was like trying to be more tactical. And that was where, like, when I was playing religiously with friends, we'd have a squad, we'd all be in a party, we'd all be so super fun. Tactical and running around, like, getting an objective. And because there's four of us in a squad, and you'd have, like, some chaps running over, and you'd just be like, okay, there's a guy coming. Oh, there's a tank. Okay, who's the engineer? Let's get some, like, explosives. Blow it up. And it worked like that really well.
You're making me feel... Yeah. You're getting me in the feels. The problem is the new Battlefield games don't recapture that magic. They're not as good. I loved that feeling. I used to play as medic all the time, and I used to just go around. I didn't play a lot of the game, actually, because no one else I knew played it, so it's kind of it's different. But I used to remember the defibrillators, just going around killing people.
Yeah,
just this is so good.
Okay, I've got to send you a video, which you should definitely, like, put in the link to this, because. Okay, there's a one of my favorite, like, YouTube channels. They've made a stupid video, and it's about Battlefield 3. And with defibs, you can run around and you can revive people.
Yes,
but you can also kill the enemies with a defib. So there's this stupid video.
That's what I did all the time. I used to run around.
Just go around.
Yeah. I used to run, and, like, you know, ally alive, enemy. Dead. It's so fun.
Just like getting all those points.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. I've got to just make a note of that. I'll send you that, because that is a good video. But Battlefield, and they don't quite capture it so much. I think they're a lot better graphics wise, but everything's just almost the same. They haven't gone out of their way to try anything too different. And obviously, like, recently we've had, same with Call of Duty, we've had a lot of this whole World War 1 and 2 thing. So COD made, I don't know what games it were, but the older like World War 2 versions. Battlefield's done the same. And as cool as they are, you can't customize your guy so much. And I think that was a big thing. Like, obviously,
Battlefield
back
1
then
looked pretty good. Like, I remember I played a few rounds of that, and that was pretty fun. But Battlefield 5, which is the World War 2 one, just didn't look very fun. It was not the same.
Yeah, it's. I've got both, and I play them both purely because more people play them. But the graphics are nicer. They've definitely, I always feel like Battlefield have had a slight edge on graphics using the Frostbite technology. It just looks so clean and everything.
Oh, when Frostbite was new, I remember that just being major. Like, just like that was the pinnacle. At one point, that was the pinnacle of games. That was so cool.
Yeah, and I always remember in Battlefield 3, the cutscenes. So they would be CG cutscenes. And I remember just being like, that's not real. Like, that's a CG person. And, like, you could see all the, like, their skin imperfections and everything.
So cool.
And, yeah, like, really, really awesome. And also, one thing I'll add on that, the mission on Battlefield 3, being able to play this storyline with one character, for me, was, like, just amazing. You're going through... you did switch it up a little bit, and you were a couple of other people, but... it all tied into the storyline.
Nice.
And on the new games, they've got four or five different storylines, and you do that, and they're very short. very, very brief stories, and they're completely individual. And they're cool, but for me personally, if they all tied into each other, or there's this whole outcome at the end, that'd be much better. But obviously, maybe because it's historical, and you've got you can't really say like, oh, okay, we're saving the world from a nuclear bomb, because that didn't happen. Well, but it'd be cool if something.
Yeah, I remember them advertising Battlefield 5, and the whole thing was, we're telling real stories, but it'll be like a series of short stories rather than a big overall one. It's kind of a cool idea, I guess. But yeah, I didn't play it, but it sounds like it didn't really work out from what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I would prefer if they tied in with each other. Mm-hmm. And they're a bit more like, there was an end goal, that'd be better. Because you can just play one and then the other and then another one. So if you get stuck on something, you can just go on to the next one, which might be good, but I just prefer the story. I think that's a more typical way to play. Like, historically, games, if they're like that, you start from point A and you go to point B and then you carry on to the end game.
Yep.
And there wasn't really an end goal with that.
Yep.
So yeah, and you don't get, I think part of gaming, a massive part of gaming is story, and you're telling this story and you're playing through this story, and
yeah,
that is what really draws in people to just play it again and again. And there's not really so much of that. You're just a person.
Mm-hmm.
You go through whatever happens, and there's no real end game. It's almost like loads of little submissions. And,
well, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Carol. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, even like submissions, like, some people don't even bother playing submissions in real games. Yeah.
That's Battlefield that. 6 is coming out this year. It hasn't been actually properly shown off yet, but that is coming out at the end of the year. I can't remember if they've confirmed or not, but I think it's now back to being just set in modern times.
I'm sorry, I had no knowledge of this. So yeah, yeah. I'm just sort of like, what?
Yeah. I think bringing back that focus on destruction and verticality is what they need to do. I just think, when I think of my time playing Battlefield Bad Company 2, which is the only one I've played properly, it was just like, cool buildings full of players, mortar strike, destroy the whole building. Those sort of moments were so cool. And the last couple of games haven't had that sense of scale, really.
Yeah.
So we've reached a point in the podcast where not only time-wise, but also conveniently, we are now firmly not in your childhood anymore. We're very much out of that era. So we are going to now start discussing your top five games of all time. We've had a nice little glimpse into your childhood of games. So now this is where it all comes together. You're gonna give me, I want to hear your top five games. We're gonna have a chat about them all. Starting with
the worst of the best. Okay,
and they are going to be added to the famous opening beta tier list. So let's hear your fifth best game of all time.
So my fifth best game, which I've already mentioned, mostly due to sort of nostalgia and being the first sort of creative game that I could play, was Little Big Planet, because.
Yes,
it's just. Is that on the list?
Yes, it's our first repeat.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. As in Little Big Planet, the PS3 version of Little Big Planet. Yeah.
I will call it that, since that was the first Little Big Planet that I played.
Do continue. Sorry, if you want to talk about a little bit planets and more. sorry.
You're going to have a little cry. Oh, I've got to repeat. Does that mean that is now rated one of the
I'm not
going to
tell
best?
You yet. I'm not going to tell you until afterwards and we'll do the rankings.
Okay, cool.
We've obviously just talked about it, but we haven't really talked about the story, the campaign mode on that game.
We haven't, no. So I'm going to be honest, I only played a little bit of campaign on PS3, but I obviously did the campaign on PSP because I owned a PSP. actually they might vary a little bit, but very cool. Being able to go to like the different levels or different worlds, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And basically get the objective going through this, like, I guess it was like a temple run, really. You're running around trying to sort all these puzzles and inserting things and so on. Really, really dynamic game.
I did talk about this on the last podcast, so we won't dwell on it too much. But I loved the aesthetic, and I loved the wedding level in particular. I just loved the music and how all the awesome puppets and stuff, and just it's so cool. Really, really loved the campaign. I thought it was actually a really, really cool single player.
I think as well, like, part of that is, it's a game that like a child could play, but also an adult would enjoy it as much because
there's so much.
It's like, and the challenges, like the missions weren't silly hard,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot to do and a lot to, okay, I need to put that block there and just move this there. Really cool.
Well, the kind of secrets they had in that were challenging. Like you there were some really difficult hidden, you know, like objects you could find in that game.
And because you've got different layers going back. Say there'd be parts which were like hidden behind like another layer.
Yeah.
You'd have to like run through it or set it on fire or something. And because fire was a dynamic on that, which is really cool.
Did you play Little Big Planet 2?
No, I think I might have briefly, but no, not properly.
Because they added loads of mechanics in that. I personally prefer the first one because I think its simplicity is really enjoyable.
But
they added all sorts of like crazy mechanics in the second one to like guns and all sorts.
oh man, yeah. Actually, I think I must have done because I remember, going around to friends playing it and they're. Yeah, they had a gun, just like, because you had to aim that with your analog stick, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it was like really tricky because you got this arm like just doing this. that's very good game.
Okay, what's your next one?
Number four is probably one of the best, in my opinion, free running games. So I might give you a hint there.
Okay.
And just the way the story of it as well. So it's Assassin's Creed, and
the original being Assassin's Creed.
The original Assassin's Creed.
Nice.
Number one.
Nice.
And getting to you're this character who you're running around in this like awesome Italian sort of environment,
mm-hmm.
like history. I don't know what period that was.
Did you say Italian?
Is it Italian? It's not Italian.
That's number two. That's the second one.
The first one
was set in like Jerusalem or something, right?
Jerusalem.
No, the Greek one is only came out a few years ago.
No, I'm ignore me.
So which one is it? Is it Assassin's Creed 2? Oh, the original. Okay,
definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, are you going to say there's a repeat on Assassin's Creed 2?
No. Okay. It's just... no, carry on, sorry.
So running around, doing all these submissions, and the story was just so original. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying in Battlefield, being able to ran around doing this story and having the end goal, like obviously fighting the Templars and so on, that it was just so unique. And also, like, you've got that story where you're in this historical world, and then you, all of a sudden, you're like thrown into the, like, the 21st century.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, there's what? What's going on here? And you, so you're flying back and forth between two storylines, which are both very well interlinked, of course. And yeah, you, it's just a very, very cool game. And then at the end of it, you've got like that bit of a plot twist and just plenty of like lead on for another, as there were, some more games. So
yeah. The story of Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 is so cool. It's just so it's so cool, and like the whole this kind of, you know, jump like free climbing and jumping into haystacks, that was so new and refreshing at the time.
Yeah, and no, well, I'll probably be wrong, but there wasn't really any other games that I played where you would run around and you could just literally climb up any sort of wall.
Oh,
and
it was even unique. It was completely
even games.
Unique. Yeah.
Now, like, I'm gonna very good game, but one of my friends was playing Lara Croft on PlayStation, and the free running in that, it's just not the same. You things are highlighted, which you can obviously run up. And Assassin's Creed wasn't like that. It was just try and run up it, and you go, or you just fall down. And that was just so clean and something I really, really liked.
It's so fun, isn't it? It's just so nice to be able to do that. Yeah.
And also having this world that you could run around in and do whatever the hell you like, it was just so refreshing, really. Rather than having a sort of closed world where you've got to go through this sort of set of hoops. Very, very cool. Very cool game.
Hmm.
So, yeah. And obviously, like, killing people. The assassinations.
The Hidden Blade, man. The Hidden Blade is just one of the most iconic weapons in all of gaming. I love that.
Very, very cool. But the one thing that I will have a slight dig at is the sword fighting.
It was
very cool, but it was very sort of staged almost. So like your one enemy would attack at a time, and that's obviously not how it would happen in real life. You'd just die. So that could have been a bit better. And I think they did get better during the games, but I think trying to train an AI to do that and to not like time it, and also that might ruin the gameplay if you've literally got like 5 dudes running at you and they all just whack out some spears and start stabbing you. It probably wouldn't be too fun, so that's probably most likely why they did it. But yeah, that's a very cool game. And sort of just leading on from Assassin's Creed, another really cool Assassin's Creed games which I really enjoyed was Black Flag. And
yeah, I actually played it, yeah.
The whole dynamic of having a ship and using a ship to go around was very cool.
See, for me with that game, that was too much Assassin's Creed, not enough pirates. I think, obviously, I realise it's an Assassin's Creed game. I wish they just made a pirate game instead, because I would have loved to have had all that pirate setting and mechanics and really gone like in depth, like really hard in on the pirate theme. I'm desperate for a game like that.
A game that's like really arcadey, and I think you might have played it, but Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, I played Sea of Thieves, yeah.
I really like that. We should have a game of that as well.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves is weird. It's a bit too simple, I think.
Yeah, it's very simple. And
yeah.
It'd be nice
quite surprised by how simple it was, actually. It's really fun. It is definitely really fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like, I think it's so simple just to keep everybody so even. Because if they put like in Assassin's Creed where you can upgrade your cannons, you can have a better hull and all of this sort of thing. If they put that into Sea of Thieves, you definitely have like some OP players just running around murdering people.
For what they what they're doing with it, it's a very, very nice game to just have like a little fun session with your friends. You know, chat with your friends. It's nice and easygoing, and for that, it's perfect for sure. I really did enjoy it. I really did enjoy it. It's just not the sort of thing that I would invest loads of time into. But it's definitely really fun for sure.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and it's also quite an expensive game for what it is, I think.
Yeah, I've got it on Game Pass, so I didn't actually.
Yeah, I've got it on Game Pass as well. But it's like £35 for.
Yeah, it's expensive for that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, going on to number three. before we get sidetracked, so number three, which is quite a close one to number two and one, to be fair.
Okay.
Is Minecraft. So I've played a lot of Minecraft.
You're really fixing this list now, by the way.
Am I?
Yes, you are. Carry on.
So, yeah, Minecraft is just one of those games where, as everybody knows, you can just run around, build whatever you want. There's a small amount of a story in there where you do your quests, go in and try and kill the Ender Dragon, which is the end game. Yeah, and then just being able to play with friends, I think that's the best thing. And obviously making whatever house you like and blowing whatever you want up.
Yep.
Yeah, no, really good game. I haven't really got too much to say on that because
it is
everybody knows what Minecraft is.
it's kind of a classic. I think everyone and literally their grandmother and baby has played Minecraft. It's so universal. Yeah.
And they could play it because it's so simple.
Yep. That has got to be just one of the most accessible games ever made. I think Minecraft is just has the absolute perfect level of complexity. I really do.
Mm. And they've, I think is it the best selling game of all time?
It is.
So
it is above Tetris.
Above Tetris.
Yeah.
But what I would say is Minecraft. So it's a multi-million pound company. I mean, it might as well be a country.
Yeah. Probably bigger than some countries, yeah.
Yeah. But this platform, they've just bought in, a few years ago, they bought in crossplay. So you can play with like different people and different consoles and so on. But I find it personally still super buggy. So I've got Minecraft Java Edition, which is like your OG Minecraft, and that runs perfectly. It's almost seamless. I've also got the Bedrock Edition, which is the I think they now call it the Windows 10. And I try and play that with friends on console, and it's so tricky. It's just not very intuitive.
Very weird, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah,
they've made some strange choices with the UI on that version. And it kind of, considering they built it from the ground up to be cross-play version, it's quite buggy, I think. Like,
it's and one thing that I always have issues with is trying to connect to a friend's world online. So they'll send me invites. I can see that they're playing the game, but I can't join it for some reason. So yeah, it's.
One thing the Windows edition has got though is they've now officially supports ray tracing, which is sick.
Yeah. I'm still yet to like get a resource pack to make that look pretty.
It looks absolutely amazing. It's so cool.
So I just at the moment I'm just using like Optifine on Java Edition, and that looks pretty nice anyway.
I mean, it's incredible with Optifine. With the Sonic Ether's Ultimate Shader Pack. It's insane.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, and then you get like all the reflections on the blocks when it rains. Oh. And you get the raindrops as well.
And that, the water. You go underwater and it's, oh, it looks so good. Yeah.
Super cool. Oh.
Minecraft. Yeah.
But then it's just a simple game. Because you can't, this is the thing. Mm-hmm. You could get packs to make it look realistic. And I've done that. But it just destroys it. Like, it just looks too good. And then you take out a block, and it's like you've got this seamless grass, and then it's like block.
The original art style is the best art style, I think.
Yeah, and with a good shader.
Oh, yeah. Shaders. Yeah, good lighting and shaders. It's great. Just the textures need to be OG because it otherwise it clashes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. So, Minecraft for number three. And then, do you want me to move on?
Yep. Yeah. Do.
Number two. Okay, so this is a game. It's pretty dorky.
Well, I did call you the world's biggest dork, so...
Dork alert. So, this is Flight Sim 10. Which,
wow, interesting.
You know, I've got my old...
Is that Microsoft Flight Sim?
Yeah, Microsoft Flight Sim. Got my old joystick.
Wait.
There you can do. Oh! Have you got... Oh, no, I don't know. I won't go to this.
I've got the new one through Games Pass, yeah.
Wait, you can... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Oh, God. With the new one, just the graphics are just so insane.
So which version are you putting on here? So 10. Is it called 10?
Flight Sim 10. Yeah, or Flight Sim X, or whatever they call it.
Is that Microsoft Flight Sim 10? Is that what it's called?
Microsoft, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, basically, this game's been out for ages. And I believe they didn't want to make a new one because they just couldn't really improve it. Not for like simulations and so on. But anyway, this game, because it was so old, you can basically just bring in whatever planes you like.
So nice, you could, nice.
People will just model up an aircraft, and I've flown X-Wings, TIE Fighters, all sorts on Flight Sim, which is just kind of really nerdy. But yeah, super cool game. So obviously it's a simulator, so you start off with your aircraft and you're on a runway. You can pick whatever, well, within reason, whichever runway you want. Mm-hmm. So you could choose Stansted Airport, for example, and you could fly to a local like grass strip runway. There's different sort of landing challenges you come across, which are on there. So you can, a very popular one is near base camp in Everest. There's a runway which is like really short, and at the end of the runway is a mountain. So you've got to land, otherwise you're going to go straight into the mountain. So that's good fun. But yeah, you can pick an aircraft, you can go flying. I play online with a friend, and we just, you know, us on our joysticks, just like flying around, trying to do formation flying as well. It's just great fun. And yeah, doing simulations. So I was very lucky to go to America a few years ago, and America, Canada. We flew into Toronto. And I was like, I'm gonna obviously fly out the flight path. So I flew the flight path.
That is so brilliant.
But you can speed it up. I wasn't sitting there for 8 hours, just like
my stepdad used to play Microsoft Flight Simulator all the time, and he would do real-time flights, not 8-hour ones, but he would do like real-time flights, you know, European. He used to love it, and I have to admit, I do get the appeal. No, I do. And I don't think it 100% is my cup of tea. I definitely enjoyed dicking around on the new one because it's unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
I have my joystick for like the Star Wars Squadrons and the more action focused Ace Combat, yeah, those sort of games.
Nice,
but I get it. Like, I get why people love Flight Sim so much. It's so cool.
I mean, it also means like when like both the pilots, I'm on a proper plane, and both the pilots like die for some reason, it just means that I can be like, yeah, I can fly a plane. Obviously can't. I definitely can't.
Yeah, because there's a lot of knobs and doodazzles to touch, which you don't entirely...
Steady.
Oh, that's a really yeah, cool game to put on this list, and that really deserves to be on this list because there wasn't any representation for any simulator until now. So
cool, yeah. No, very very cool game, and obviously the new one is just so seamless, and mm-hmm, the graphics are so good, and being able to fly in real time, that's the new dynamic. Because what I've heard is they couldn't improve it because all the maths behind it to simulate an aircraft going through the air was already there. You can't improve that. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So the only way they could make it better was obviously graphics. It's come a long way.
Yeah.
And flying in real time and making everything so much better. So you're streaming a real world, and you've got all these real air movements from real like air balloons and things and or weather balloons, air balloons, and yeah, so you're in this like real world almost, which is
it's mind-blowing. You yeah, start a game, well, a game, it's not really a game, whatever, but you start a session of Flight Sim and you're presented with the globe, and it's like, wow, I have the whole planet that I can just go boop, boop. It's just
yeah
oh, so ambitious.
This is the crazy thing. And also with that, I've flown over, I'm sure you probably have as well, I've flown over like Colchester, and
that's like the first thing I did. It was like,
yeah, and you can see the road where your house is, and the house, it's somewhere close, but it's just so realistic, and they've really gone to town on that. And some of the cities as well, when they've designed the cityscape to look so real, like you fly around New York and you're like, what? There's a lot of images online with people going, is this real or is this
oh yeah, there's a I was flying near where I live, and there's this gigantic perfect rectangular massive field near where I live, like, doesn't exist. I don't know what that is. It looked really imposing as well. It was so perfectly rectangular.
Oh man.
But apparently there used to be an airfield near here, so it could actually be making a space for an airfield that no longer exists, which is pretty interesting.
Also, what I found is, I know someone in the village where I used to live at, they've got like a little grass strip runway, and they have a small light aircraft which they obviously take off from there, and it's actually for some reason they've identified as the airstrip, this little grass patch, and they've named it as like so and so farm airstrip, and it's just like, what? So I don't know how they've done that.
Wow.
But it's really really cool with things like that.
And I like how they've called it Microsoft Flight Simulator. So I know we're talking, you actually put number 10 down. I don't know much about 10, but in terms of the newest one, the fact that they've just called it Microsoft Flight Sim, you know that that game is going to be added on for years and years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be really cool. I'm looking forward to in a few years' time when we can mod it. Just yeah, so I can take off. Well, actually, to be fair, they might, in the future, it might be a thing about incorporating like a space theme to it as well. I think that would be very cool, and being able to go up to like the stratosphere and so on.
You know, they actually definitely could do that, couldn't they?
Easily, easily.
You know, there's a VR update that is confirmed to be coming to the game as well. Which
Oh wow,
I want to do that so bad. That'd be just the most amazing thing.
That would be very cool. Have you got VR?
Yeah, that's a
you have.
That's an Oculus sensor right there.
Oh nice. Oh sweet. I'd love to get VR, but I wouldn't get it if I'm playing on my own. I'd love to get it and play with other people in like stupid games.
I wouldn't recommend it really. I haven't actually used it as much as I hoped I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cheap. Like so cheap compared to what they used to be. And that's why I bought it, because when I saw it, I got it as a present for myself, my first ever paycheck.
Oh man.
When I started my job. Yeah. But that would be cool as an update. I really hope they add that soon. That would be really, really sick. That'd be
cool. So number one on my list is which we've already spoken about. And it's probably the game that I don't know how many hours I've clocked, but I dread to think. Like we said, the physics of destroying things and being able customize your character, run around. The story mode is just tip top. And it's Battlefield 3. It's just one of my games I just love playing.
You have come along and like three of the games that you said are repeats. This is
Do you know why? It's because they're good games.
I know. No. Okay. So this is what this is a thing. Right. Sorry. We have talked about Battlefield 3. In fairness, when I came up with this idea for this list, I've had like a wide variety of people with different like gaming backgrounds. I guess you are definitely one of the more core gamers of like people I've had on. What I mean by that is you've played the big tentpole release gamey games like Battlefield 3. And I was kind of expecting more people to have said more tentpole games, and this is my own like bias, I guess. And it took me by surprise just how broad gamers are in general. But obviously you've given me some really core games, which is great because it actually fixes the entire purpose of this list.
Good. Oh man.
Go on. Sorry.
Are we allowed to know what the standings are for the list?
So we're not going to talk about Battlefield 3 because we've obviously talked about it a lot already. The final thing we do at the end of this is go through the list, rattle through them. And I always put this disclaimer. In the future, fingers crossed, Openly Beta will have a website, and we will have this list on the website. And so at this part of the podcast, I would then say, if you want to see the list, refer to it online. That does not exist at this point in time. And so, I am going to read it all. you're going to have to ignore the tier namings at the moment because you have now splintered it. So the original tier list is now a bit wonky. I'll go through that as we go through. There's now actually eight tiers. There were originally six before you did your list. But we're going to pretend... I'm going to sort that out later. So we're going to pretend there's still six. So we've got... Tier six is the honourable mentions tier. Now, you didn't actually give me an honourable mention. I only give people honourable mentions if they request it. It's a secret tier for those who really want to... who've asked me... for it. So in the honorable mentions tier we have Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Evolve, and Chroma Gun. Those are those three games.
Oh, I've heard of Evolve.
So yeah.
Nice. That's a very good list.
That's like the secret list. Now for the proper tier list. So tier five, which is called at the moment, it's called the Grunt tier. Undertale. I should explain this to you actually. So when a game, the games get given points depending on where they are. So the fifth game gets 1 point, and the first game gets 5 points, and that's how I can order them. So tier five, all these games have 1 point. So we've got Undertale, Street Fighter 4, PUBG, Sonic Boom, Warhammer Dawn of War, Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, and Cuphead.
Nice.
Which is, I think, a pretty cool tier, except for Sonic Boom, which I absolutely despise the person who put this on the list, because it's such a terrible game. But at the moment, it's technically in this list, it's the eighth best game of all time. So anyway, moving on. Tier four is the Elite tier. These games all have 2 points each. They are Civilization V, Towerfall Ascension, Spyro the Dragon, the first game, Lost Planet 2, Roller Coaster World, specifically on the PlayStation 2, Resident Evil 7, Pumped BMX 2 for Android, Cube.
I think I might know who that was.
Cube and Assassin's Creed. And then, nice. Obviously, these are included. I'm including the ones that you've just added to it. Tier three is the mini boss tier. These games all have 3 points each. We have got Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Halo Reach, Skyrim, Sims 3, Red Dead Redemption 2, Dirt 2, and Watam.
What?
Google what Watam is.
Watam.
Google. It's spelled Wattam.
The first thing I see is this, like, this PS.
It's in the same league as Halo Reach, Skyrim.
Who's done this?
My good friend Nathan last week, and 2 weeks ago, did this. So now we're on tier two. This is the boss tier. Each of these games have 4 points each. They are Persona 4, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Little Big Planet 2, The Witcher 3, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Metro Exodus, Dying Light, Katamari Damacy, Minecraft, and Microsoft Flight Simulator 10. Now we're going to go into the original top tier. It's no longer the top tier now. Tier one is the final boss tier. We've got Pokemon Heart Gold, Mass Effect 2, The Last of Us, Metro 2033, Spyro the Dragon Ripto's Rage. So we've got two Spyro PlayStation 1 games on this list. Really interesting.
That's pretty cool.
From two separate people. Total War Warhammer 2, Skate 3, and that is it. So we've now got an extra two tiers. So in second place in total, so in its own tier, on its own itself, with 6 points, with 6 points is Little Big Planet.
Nice.
And way, way above all the other games, at 8 points, is Battlefield 3.
Yes!
It's just showing off. It's not even like just the best game of all time. It's by far the best game of all time.
Who, dare I ask, who is the other Battlefield veteran?
I believe it was Jonah, my my high school friend, who you will remember from parties before.
I feel like we should all do like a Battlefield game. Have you got Battlefield 3?
No, but it's got to be cheap, surely.
I mean, I think I must be able to do a little gift for you.
No, I can get it. I'm sure it's like a fiver if I look hard enough.
I think they did do it. I bought Battlefield 4 for about £4 the other day.
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah, like, no, that is a very good game. I will just say a couple of things. I was playing Battlefield 3 the other day, actually, and I was on a server, and it was a conquest server, so there's tanks and all sorts. And one thing that just won't blow up is these massive concrete tubes. And you can't blow them up, which is perfect, but you can run inside them. And I had this tank coming at me, and he was shooting all he had. And I was on the other side of the tubes, and the tubes were just taking the hits. And I was just basically running around the tubes while this tank was trying to kill me. And he was getting so frustrated. And I was just running around these tubes, just like poking out, just like, hello! Like literally just shooting him with a pistol, doing nothing. And then he popped out of his tank. So I just battered him. But yeah. One of my favorite games, and obviously a very good game indeed.
Very, very good. It means that at the going rate, Battlefield 3 is going to be at the top of the list for probably quite a long time now. It's you know, way better. So yeah, that's exciting. So thank you very much, Sam, for joining me today on this podcast. I had a fantastic time. I hope you enjoyed it too. And audience, I hope you enjoyed listening or watching that. So if you're listening or watching this on YouTube, due to Section 13 of the law, you actually have to subscribe. If you get to this point in the video, you have to subscribe. Obviously, I will be contacting the authorities if you don't. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, go to YouTube and subscribe to me. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.